Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to talk on the radio today. Seeing the world with clarity, untainted by prejudice and misconception, is one of the main tenets of the Buddha's teachings. To this end, the Buddha and subsequent wise men have left countless teachings to guide us on the road to true understanding. In the process, they have left concrete instructions on how to act and think so that this consciousness might be nurtured, eventually leading to some kind of awakening to life as it is. Treat others as you would like to be treated, with compassion and understanding. Be sincere and honest in all interaction with others. Be true to yourself. These are all true and wise statements. Personally, I think these are ideals toward which we should aspire in the process of awakening, because too often the disparity between what should be and what actually is can become all too glaring. For it is also true that I treat others callously, without regard for their feelings. I try to be sincere and honest, but I am not sometimes, often for convenience. And I try to be true to myself, but that I know I am not. The air conditioning in my car broke a few years back. Without the funds to immediately get it fixed, I ran for some time doing without. Surprisingly, my body became accustomed to the heat that I previously thought unbearable, and, in addition, noticed that I was not using as much gas. I have yet to get the AC fixed, and, frankly, am very pleased that I can save a lot by not having to put in gas so often. Still, there is a backside, because I cannot express myself in certain irritating traffic situations like I used to, because my windows are open and the other drivers can hear me. The best that I can hope for is that their cars have functional AC and their windows are rolled up and they cannot hear me. For someone trying to be kind and gentle to others, it is totally the opposite for me to be calling others not nice names for their actions, which I interpret as traffic lights. Happily, I have learned to tone this down quite a bit and now can get by without shouting disparaging comments at inconsiderate fellow drivers. This has turned out to be another life lesson for me. What used to bother me a lot before doesn't elicit the violent reaction anymore, and I can concentrate on the matter at hand, namely driving safely instead of dwelling on some imagined slight to my idea of fairness. One point that Shinran made was that prayer, or the recitation of the Nembutsu, in his thinking, was only to express appreciation for this gift of life on earth, and nothing more. It should be my response to having been profoundly touched by life. Prayer should never be petitionary, meaning praying and asking for something, be it material or some divine intervention, to change life events to make my life easier. Having made this statement, however, Shinran admitted to catching himself reciting the sutras while gravely ill in hopes that the recitation might aid in recovering from his illness. He pointed out that it was his deep-seated ignorance which made him do that. In any given situation, it is difficult to predict how I will react because of ego consciousness. My mind may think one way, but my gut might make me act otherwise. On one particular social media venue, there are often posts from people asking for prayers for friends or family in dire situations, most often suffering from health issues or nearing death. Somehow, I cannot sincerely post sending prayers or praying for you because I know deep inside that I have no pull with the universe and its natural movement. Does prayer really have the power to make the universe suddenly change course and reverse that which is causing a person or persons suffering and stress? Many believe that prayers can and are answered with miracles to conveniently pluck people from the grips of imminent peril just in the nick of time. Although there are reports of such things occurring, I can't say that I truly believe this. I will, though, honestly admit that I hope such a power exists and is capable of working in my favor. There is a story of a parishioner going to his priest to get some words of wisdom about universal truth to become more appreciative of life. The priest simply writes on a piece of paper, "Grandparents die, parents die, and children die." The parishioner reads this and becomes angry. "How can such a statement make me appreciate life more? You're only talking about death." The priest replied, "I have written the logical, natural sequence in life. What can be happier than to have life follow the natural rhythm of life? What would happen if the parents went before the grandparents, or the children before the parents?" The parishioner finally saw and understood the truth in what the priest had written. My brothers, sister, and I lost our mother in late February. We had been expecting it to happen for quite some time and cannot say that it was totally unexpected. Yet one can never know the sorrow or the feeling of loneliness until it actually happens. Fortunately, her passing was peaceful and calm. I think I can speak for my siblings in saying that we are extremely proud of our mother, in that she handled the entire process with dignity, serenity, and grace, never complaining about her circumstance or situation. Sometime after her passing, and being the eldest in my family, it dawned on me that the natural sequence of life is for me to go next. I have to step up to the end of the diving board, in a manner of speaking, to spring into the great abyss. I'm hoping that I have some time left, but in reality, I don't know for sure. Still, I firmly believe that my going next would be the happiest for my family, as it is the natural next step. I would sorely be disappointed if my younger siblings, my wife, or my children should go before me. Having heard Shinran's idea about petitionary prayer, I will try not to consciously pray that things happen in life naturally, in logical sequence, but I know that somewhere deep inside, this is my most fervent wish. Thank you. Namo Amida Butsu.